Somebody's missing. I said, what are you talking about? She said, somebody's missing. Your ex-husband's not on here. I looked at her and I said, you fall down and hurt your head? Did you hear what that SOB did to me? You know, what do you mean I owe him an amends? I do not owe him an amends. He owes me an amends. And she took me out to lunch many times, and she brought the mirror right up to my face. And what she did is she told me, she asked me questions like, what kind of a wife were you? Were you faithful? How much money did you steal from him? What kind of a home did you provide? Yes, the mirror was up to my face. I believe there's a very thin line between love and hate, a very thin line. And as much as I love this man with all my heart and soul at this time, I hated him just as equal. I could not do it. I just couldn't do it. No matter what, I could not do it. And finally, she just said, you know, I want you to get these amends done before you leave. So she wrote out the amends for me. She wrote it out. And she said, call him and read it. You know, so, okay. All right, that's what you want. So I dialed the phone and I called him and I read this amends to him, not meaning one single solitary word, none of it. I hated this man. And you know, it's not what we think, it's not what we feel, it's what we do. And something happened. Something happened. And a little bit of forgiveness came through that door. As I said, he was my soulmate and I was his as equal. He was still drinking. He wanted to get back together again. But I did not want to get back together with him, not because I didn't love him, but because I did not want to turn into the woman I would turn into when I lived with an alcoholic. I just could not do that. But, you know, we started writing back and forth, and he came to California to visit me, and I went to North Carolina. He was living there at the time to visit him, and we had the most incredible friendship ever. And I tell you that because when he died, you know, 30 years later, he died, and we were even. We were current. We were clean. And I never would have had that relationship, had that sponsor not taken me through the steps at all. You know, my second day of sobriety, when I am just goofy as can be, I'm sitting in a room, and all of a sudden I hear everyone saying, Frank's here, Frank's here. And I look up, and here's this guy coming in with a big cowboy hat, you know, cowboy boots and a big belt buckle. And I'm looking at this guy going, doesn't he know he's in Hawaii, not Texas? What is his problem? You know, and this is Frank, this is Frank. And that man sits down next to me and puts his arm around me and says, hello, chicken. And I thought, I'm gonna punch him in the mouth. Who does he think he is? Whatever, you know. And you know, he was just around all the time. And I tell you about Frank right now before I forget is that, you know, when he died 30 years later, all of us were holding his hand. We were with him the entire time. We stayed with Frank because he was our hero. He told me one time, come to Seal Beach, let me give you a cake, and I never left. You know, Seal Beach is still my home group. And I love that meeting, and we just revere all our newcomers. We have a whole section set aside for them. Everything is just perfect, you know. It's perfect as far as Alcoholics Anonymous can be. I'm a greeter at that meeting. I've been the greeter forever. I am the head greeter. I don't care about rotation. That is my commitment, mine. And the reason it's mine is this, is that because of what I have been taught, anytime anyone stands up as a newcomer, I go up to them and say, guess what, you have a commitment. You'll be here next Tuesday. And I watch these people. You know, there is absolutely nothing more rewarding than to see people come in here with their broken hearts and their broken dreams and their broken lives, standing there, you know, like hearing the music of Alcoholics Anonymous being played, you know, the lying, the cheating, the flirting, the boy meets girl on AA campus. We see it all. But without fail, I always like to talk about this one particular woman that I worked with. I didn't like her. She didn't like me. And I was sitting at my desk one day and I got a text from her, an email from her going, my therapist said that I might be an alcoholic. And you're the only alcoholic I know. You have to take me to a meeting. And my first reaction was delete. You know, that was my first reaction, delete. But I knew I'd have to turn myself into my sponsor, so I did not do that. And I said, okay, fine. Andrea will pick you up and she'll bring you to Seal Beach on Monday. And I'm standing in that greeter line and I see her pull up. And I see her park across the street. And I can tell by the look on her face she would rather walk over hot coals than to come through that parking lot. And she walks in, and I still don't like her. And so I said, get in the line and shake hands, and I got you a seat. You can sit back there. And at the end of the meeting, she came up to me, and I said, well, what do you think about Alcoholics Anonymous? And she's got these tears streaming down her cheek. And she's going, you know, I've been so lost and so alone for so long. I just met 200 people, and I've never felt so loved in my entire life. I was going to ask her to be my sponsor at that point, but